good evening, afternoon, or morning, whatever the case may be, in whatever cave you're currently dwelling in, my little creepies and my little kitschies. Welcome to, what is this, episode two of Equinox Cast?
This is our second Equinox cast, and I think it's like number, I think we're actually like on now number 79 at this point. I don't know, whatever. I'm just
Who
intrigued by our
cares?
numbers because I'm slowly uploading all of the, I do because I'm slowly uploading all the back episodes, and that is the tedious, that is a tedious
I
motherfucking
hear
job.
you.
So,
I 100% believe you.
oh my
But so
God.
this is, this is, again, we're soldiering on in our new format, and this
Yep.
is where we basically watched something bonkers and had a good old time.
Yeah, I had a really good old time. I'm
And
laughing
then
because I've been listening to a lot of other podcasts and they're always like, let's start by introducing ourselves, and we never do, and it makes me
no,
laugh. So I'm all
what's the
like,
point?
who is this talking? Who is this talking? Send an
All
email.
right, I'm Stacy, that's Cindy. There you go.
Yeah,
We've
there we
introduced.
go. I just want to do that someday and be like, who's talking now? Send an email and we
Well,
will
it is,
thank you.
yeah.
I
It's
don't
like,
know.
well, like I, like you started listening to Morbid, and they always introduce themselves, and they have their sign off, and it's just like all the things that we don't do.
I know. Ours is, hey, fuck me in the hat at this
Basically, which is
point.
probably why. Well, and they also have things like, standards,
Merchandise and
merchandise,
standards and sponsorships and that sort of thing. Yeah. And we
quality.
have
That's the
fuck
big
me in
thing.
the hat.
Yeah, we have fuck
So.
me in the hat and screw you, Skype.
And yes, and fuck you, Skype. Yeah, I was listening to a lot of back episodes recently. I realized that we started this fucking podcast in 2011.
Yeah.
20 goddamn 11.
Yeah,
Jesus,
we've
how
been
long
at
we've
it
been
for a
doing this.
while. 11 years.
Jesus, I can't believe
Actually,
we've
I
been
think
doing this for this
technically, didn't we
long.
start in November? Did we
Yes,
start
I
in
mean,
November?
technically,
So I think
probably
technically it'll
2012,
be
but.
technically, so it'll probably be 11
And the
officially in
blog was
November.
started before then. I think the
Yeah.
blog we started in 2010. So,
Yeah, maybe even
I
before
mean,
that.
we've been doing this shit for a really long time. Holy crap.
Yes, and we have.
I cannot believe how long we've been doing
We're
this.
old.
We are. I'm old.
I'm old. Now let me go. I have
Yeah.
your stuff to steal. I am
Thank
dying.
you. You got the rest. You
Oh, of
totally
course I
got the
do.
reference. I'm so happy. Sir, we're
All
going to
right.
have to talk to you. I'm old.
I'm old. I'm dying. Now let me go. I have more stuff to
More
steal.
stuff to steal.
That is shamelessly stolen from Nick. What is his last name?
Oh, I forgot.
He's been
But
in
I
a bunch
love
of
him.
stuff. Gosh darn it.
Oh, I love him. He's so funny.
He's
But I
hilarious.
love
He was
that.
the one who, Nicholas. Oh no, Nick. It's Nick.
Oh, Nick. Nicholas, you're so strong.
Wasn't he in? You
He
should
was in,
fight
wasn't he in
crime.
he
Wasn't he
was
in
also, I think
Transformers?
that was the same guy who was in Blades of Glory, and he played the Stalker in Blades of Glory. He was so fucking
Oh,
funny in
you might be
that.
right. Let me look that up.
Yeah, I'm almost
Did you
positive
know,
that was
speaking
him.
of Blades of Glory,
I love that
that
movie.
John Heder, the guy who plays the,
Yeah,
the
I
other
love him.
lead,
Napoleon Dynamite.
is an identical, he's, yeah, Napoleon Dynamite, he's an identical twin as well. Nick Swardson.
Nick Schwartzen, that's his name. I love him.
Yeah, that's his name.
He's
Yeah,
wonderful.
John Heder's an identical twin.
There's a lot of identical twins out there in Hollywood.
There are, and I'm always
It just
surprised
seems to be
when
like the thing. I don't know.
there's a lot of fraternal twins too, but that just
What
leaves me
is it with?
gobsmacked when I'm like, but there's
I
two of
know.
them?
Like,
Like when I
at
found out
least
that
it's like a
Rami
mildly
Malek is an
pleasant one.
identical twin.
I
That's
mean, at
true.
least they're pleasant ones we're finding out about. It's not like there's two like horrible ones. Yeah.
Well, no, but there is a set of famous twins where it really does seem like one twin is the good twin and the other twin's the evil twin. And that's the, what is it, Jeremy and Jason London?
I don't think
The
I.
guy from, you would recognize maybe saw him because
If
one of
I
them
saw
was
him, I'd
the
probably
lead
know him.
in, one of them was the lead in fucking, oh, damn it.
In fucking? No,
My
that was my
brain,
dream
yeah,
with
in
Robert
fucking,
Lipton.
I guess that was your dream with Robert Lipton and Ryan
Yeah.
Gosling.
Yeah, we were having a
God
very
damn
long
it.
talk about my weird,
What?
horrible sex dream with Ryan Gosling and Robert Lipton. I was not a part of it, but I had to watch
But she was
it.
forced to observe.
I
What
was
was the
forced to
movie that
observe.
Matthew McConaughey's in with, he played Wooderson? Thing I like about these high school girls is I keep getting older and they stay the same
Oh,
age.
Dazed and Confused.
Dazed and Confused. Thank you. He was the main
Yeah.
guy in Dazed. One of them was the main guy in
Oh,
Dazed
I
and
bet, yeah.
Confused.
Okay, now
It
I know what you're talking about.
was Jason London who played Pink, and he's an identical twin, but I think he might be the asshole twin. Jason and Jeremy. Hang on, I'm gonna look. No, like to the point where like,
One robbed a
no,
bank.
maybe not. It must be the other one. No, but he faked his own kidnapping. oh to try and get ransom money out of his mother and his twin.
Oh my god!
So it must. I think Jeremy Landon or Jeremy London was the one who did that.
That is that. That's a thing. Yeah. That's definitely a thing. I there are no words. That's just a thing. So
well, and it was one of those things where it's like I had like heard shit because wasn't one of them in Mallrats? One of them was in Mallrats, weren't they?
I think one of them was in Mallrats. I just don't remember. Okay, don't remember either of those movies that much.
Jeremy was so the other one is was the one who was in Mallrats.
Anyway, I'm positive that Hollywood is full of evil twins. There is no doubt in my mind. Oh, sure,
but it's just you so rarely see it so clearly defined. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, touche.
There used to be a thing where there was the belief in it was like mirror twins were like honestly like there was like a psychological belief for a hot second there that there did tend to be a good twin and an evil twin, which
it's kind of like that movie Dead Ringers. Yeah.
Well, no, I think they were both the evil twin and Dead Ringers, weren't they?
One was like, I think one was evil, but with empathy. That's how it went or something like that. I know it's been forever since I've seen it. So, Jeremy Irons, man.
Yeah. It came out and I was super like weirded and creeped out because I was like in middle school when that came out.
Like I watched it long, like much later into adulthood because that movie came out when I was a kid. So I was all like, no, thank you. So
pretty much. Yeah.
It's all good. Anyway, I'd like to say that I do have some back episodes up. So they are all out of order right now because I literally uploaded them all because it was a tedious adventure. And I didn't like, I forgot to actually like back date the episodes. So they all just kind of went up in order I uploaded them.
Right.
So it's kind of like, I will fix that.
When last podcast was no longer Spotify exclusive, I deleted Spotify because I hate Spotify.
Yeah.
And so I re-listened to them on Apple and everything, like all like their entire back catalog. Think about last podcast on the last entire
we only have like a handful catalog. Compared to them.
What are they on,
so,
500?
They're like on episode 500 or something by now.
It all uploaded is on like the day that I activated them on Apple.
Yeah.
So like I couldn't even search by date if I wanted to because like everything is February 28th or something like that.
Yeah. So I have to go back and fix it. So please hang in there. I do apologize. That's why it's a mess if you're wondering. Because I also have to go in and like edit, I have to edit the episodes because since we are on a different format, I feel uncomfortable keeping our full theme song because it's not ours.
No, I get that. Yeah.
So I edit it down to just like the amount we're allowed to play.
Twenty seconds,
and so I have to go in and edit now all those episodes. Plus, it takes forever to upload. Plus, I just keep forgetting to backdate. So. And I work full time and I write, so it's been a little crazy. And I do apologize, but it's there. So
it is
it's free.
What's the word I'm looking for? It's a process.
It's a process. It's a mark of quality.
It takes
but
time.
On an up note, it's been really fun to kind of listen to our back episodes. I've been like kind of having fun, like revisiting them and laughing my ass off about like. I'm laughing at how it started, like the first few episodes, how we're like, yay, we're going to do this once a week and it's going to be so cool. And we're so like young and naive. And then it, like, as the episodes are going on, you can hear us get more and more tired as the years go on. And it's so sad.
But
I'm like,
we don't have the wherewithal to do a 4-hour episode every week.
Yeah, I laughed my ass off. I was like, oh, we were so young and naive to do this. Mm-hmm. And now we're like, we're calling it good. And then you can you get to the episodes where we had to record twice because, you know, Skype has shit the bed or Audacity shit the bed. Or GarageBand shit the bed or something didn't get recorded. And it's hilarious because you go back and you listen and we are so angry. We're all like, well, we have to do this again.
We're not mad at you. Mommy and Daddy aren't mad at you.
No, we're mad at GarageBand or whatever the fuck it was that fucked up the episode.
Fucking GarageBand. It was always
more than mostly it was GarageBand, and then that one time it wasn't. It was like I forgot what program we were using where it only recorded your side of conversation.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
And it was like a 2-hour episode. And I remember getting an email from Lou and him going, did you only want Stacey on this episode?
Oh.
And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And we had to record the whole goddamn episode again. I remember that. And so you could hear our spirit slowly dying, slowly throughout the years. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hilarious, but it's still really fun to revisit. Because half the movies that we did, I was kind of like, I forgot we did that one. Oh, I forgot we did that one.
Yeah, I mean, even now, like, every once in a while, I have to text you and be like, did we do such and such? And you're always like,
we did
yeah,
a lot of fucking movies. Six. Yeah, I had to go back and, like, refer to the list.
Two, sometimes
yeah, we were,
three.
Well, the first couple of episodes, we did three. And then we were like, oh, that's too much. Let's do two. And for years, we did two films. And then it was just only within the last couple of years, we were like, yeah, fuck that shit.
So, well, and it's we're really only funny doing too, one because in retrospect it's like, of course you should only do one. Like, why the fuck would you do this to yourself?
Because we were following a format that was like,
yeah, we were following
going on at the time
format, I think.
And so I mean, that was, you know, we were part of that pod sphere with, you know,
that's true, yeah.
And with all, you know, the dudes and stuff, and it was the douche cast mm-hmm. boys and all that, and we were so we were kind of just falling in with their format. And
yeah,
they did two episodes.
Yeah, now that I think
two movies
a lot
an episode
podcasts did that. Not last podcast, Night of the Living Podcast. I think even they had a two
yeah,
movie format.
They did. They did like two movie format too, and then we did a two movie format. Like, it was kind of what you did, and
yeah, it just happened.
We did it for a long time too, actually.
Yeah,
so we
really fucking did.
Because I mean, I laugh thinking
where,
how old school we are compared to like all these new podcasts out there. God, we're old school.
And it would always be the thing too, where it would be like you'd watch the first movie. Because I don't know about you, but I'd be like, I'm gonna watch them early just to get it, you know, like over and done with, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
So I'd watch the first one. I'd be like, oh well, that was really good, or I hated that, and I want to kill everybody. But it's done. I got it out of the way. And then I would never like watch the second one.
Yeah.
And
oh,
like,
that
the night
we were
before,
always. Yeah.
And I'd be like, fuck. And so now. Staying up until 2 in the morning when I have to work at 7.
Yeah, that was kind of what I did too all the time too. And you'd be like, shit.
Right. No, we push it back a day. We have to watch the movie.
We have to push it back. Oh God. It's like, God, we mark a quality.
Yep. A wart or herpes. You can't get rid of us. We might go away for long periods
back.
Of time. But we'll come back every time.
Then we come on back.
Yep, whether you wanted us back or not.
Yeah, but it was fun to visit those. And we are back again, and we are talking, and this is fresh in my mind because I watched it this morning.
Yeah,
for Equinox Cast, we are talking about Scooby-Doo and Kiss, a rock and roll mystery.
Yes.
Holy shit, that movie took a turn.
That
took
is,
many turns.
You watch that, and then you're like, this is everything I didn't know I wanted.
It's everything I didn't know I wanted in a Scooby-Doo movie. Yes. And there was a lot more Sailor Moon references than I ever anticipated involving anything with Kiss.
Yes. Well, the part of what made this work is that tongue is planted firmly in cheek.
Yes.
But
yes,
at the same time, when they got to play straight, they're playing a fucking straight. And it's like,
no.
This is something that shouldn't work, but it worked.
Yeah, but it worked. So should we do our horror crush and everything first? Or, okay, who wants to go first? Do you want me or you want to go first?
You go first.
Okay, mine is, and just because it really amused me, was Matthew Lillard, who actually did the voice of Shaggy and played Shaggy and was also in Scream. And also 13 Ghosts, which I fucking love.
Shaggy in the live action Scooby-Doo movies.
Oh, yeah, which is why he did the voice on the cartoons for forever.
He's actually said before in like podcast interviews that once he started doing the voice, he couldn't turn it off. So,
well,
he says
it
he's
made him a career. Good for him.
That's true, right?
But yeah, I kind of loved him since I saw him in Scream. And I actually really loved him in 13 Ghosts. I love him in all those fucking cheesy ass films.
He's got a really great sense of humor about it all.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have to. So
exactly. Which takes it like a fair amount. And I just, you know, I appreciate anybody who doesn't take themselves too seriously.
I agree. So mine's Matthew Lillard. Bless you, sir. I kind of adore you. do you
mine
have one?
Was, I have two, but I can't remember the other one now. I'm just going to say Eric Idle because I've been listening
to Eric Idle's kind of wonderful.
Yeah, I've been listening to his audiobook, which I believe is Always Look on the Bright Side. And yeah. He kind of, as a through line, uses that song from Life of Brian, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. It has become, song. Hilariously, because they wrote it, and it was supposed to be a parody of, like, wartime British folk music. And now yeah. It's become, like, a wartime, like, apparently there was a ship that was sinking during the Falkland War, and it was a British ship, because it was between, what were the Falklands? It was, like, England and Norway, or England and Russia, or something like that. I don't think it was Norway.
Yeah.
And their boat had been hit, and so they were waiting to be rescued. And apparently there's a recording of the entire crew sitting on the deck singing Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, which I think is hilarious and adorable.
I kind of love that song. It was my theme all through fucking COVID, pretty much. Yeah. I sang it a lot to myself while adjusting to Lexapro, singing that song while crying, God, you know. Right?
Yeah.
The usual. But
it's just, and like he and John Cleese did a tour together right when Dickhead was voted into office in 2016. Mm-hmm. And it was called a John Cleese and Eric Idle Together Again at Last for the first time. But
I think I know that one. So.
Yeah. And he actually retrofitted one of the verses. So it's when you're feeling down in the dumps, forget about the Trumps. But it's,
I love him.
It's just, yeah, like it's a really, really great audiobook. It's like, you know, talks about like the formation of the pythons, talks about like how he was reared. I was talking off air to Cindy about he was in the movie The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, which is like an infinitely or an infamously horrible filming experience for like everyone involved. Yes. And he actually went to like the traditional, like, Victorian nightmare idea that you think of when you think of a British boarding school.
Uh-huh.
And he told Terry Gilliam at one point that he would rather go back to boarding school than continue filming this movie.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you know it's bad when you want to go back to Victorian boarding school.
And, just saying. He went to Victorian boarding, like he went to English boarding school, like, in the 50s and 60s. Like,
well, yeah.
This is when capital punishment was still very much in play.
That apparently was still, that was still a thing.
The best. And anyway, he, you know, I was saying, like, that says a lot when you're willing to say that to the person who's directing it, who also happens to be one of your best friends. But yes. The book is just really hilarious. It talks about, like, he has two children and he was married and then really, really heinously cheated on his first wife and calls himself out in it in the book.
I'm glad he does.
Yeah. I mean, he says at one point in time, you know, of course the marriage ended. I was an asshole.
Yeah.
But
good for him.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's really cute because it was right after the divorce that they did Life of Brian, and he wrote Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, and it was really cute because he played it for his son, who at the time was like 2, and apparently his son was very excited and liked the whistling.
Oh,
right,
that's so cute.
But anyway, it's just, it's really fucking funny, and it talks about, like, because the pythons own all of their own shit, because they ended up in the 80s, I think, 70s or 80s, they actually sued, I don't remember which broadcasting corporation in America, CBS, ABC, or NBC. I think it was CBS. They ended up suing CBS and the BBC because...
Oh, shit.
Well, the BBC was letting CBS air butchered versions of Monty Python's Flying Circus without their permission.
Oh, like,
they
shit.
Hadn't signed off on it. And so they had a friend,
that's not good.
A lawyer who represented them. They ended up winning. And what he ended up... So what he said was, don't ask them... or don't take the £2 million that they're offering, ask for the master tapes.
Oh, that's
so
a good idea.
Because they got their masters, they own everything that
yeah,
they've done.
I can see that. That's actually really smart, too, because that way
smart.
They can't fuck with anything.
Exactly. Well, I mean, you know, you think about stuff where it's like, you know, like you'd have like say you'd be listening to a podcast and maybe there'd be like a singer or something on there and they can't sing their own damn song because they don't have the rights to, you know, play it in a podcast or some shit like that. And so because of that, like, Eric Idle is constantly singing through this audiobook, and he doesn't have to censor himself because Python owns the rights. Yeah. It was really cool seeing them all, like, A, getting to sort of, like, he talks about, like, how everybody met, and like, they're all still friends, despite the fact that he says that there's some tabloid that is just, has for, like, the last, like, 30 years insisted that they all hate each other.
Of course. There's always one.
Yeah. And just, like weird, funny stories about, they were at some party in L.A. It was, like, only, like, the first or second time they'd gone to L.A. And Michael Palin, who apparently is, like, a teddy bear incarnate.
Yes, I heard about that.
Apparently he was in a hot tub and some naked young woman jumped in with him. Or I think a naked young woman jumped in and she tried to get him to go in with her. And like all of his friends like stared and laughed as he like blushed and stammered. And basically said he couldn't get in the hot tub because he had to go read the Times. At which point in time, Terry Jones immediately jumped into the hot tub with her. And there's a great bit in there where they went to Germany because they were
my God, that is so amazing.
Is that not the greatest story you've ever heard?
That is one
heard?
Of the best stories I've ever fucking heard in my life. I'm like,
I have listened to this audiobook, I think, 3 times now, and I have laughed my ass off every fucking time.
That's so funny.
But yeah, whenever you're feeling down, just think of Terry Jones doing a strip tease.
I know. I kind of love Terry. I've always loved Terry Jones. Too, so yeah.
While eyeballing a bunch of pissed off old Nazis in the corner.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I about wet and I was laughing so fucking hard.
Oh, good.
But yeah, so there's in fact, I'll do it too for Eric Idle and Terry Jones. That's my
yeah, you know what? I would say fresh. Yeah, for I would say the same thing for Terry Jones. He was always one of my favorite unsung pythons.
Same.
So I've always loved him.
Absolutely. All
right. So shall we get at it?
Or the fuck off?
I mean, I don't have a fuck off. Things have been pretty fucking good right now. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's I know it's kind of weird. Like, I'm so used to being like, I'm so pissed off. Ever since I got out of customer service,
yeah, it's
I'm like,
difference that makes, right?
Doing all right. Yeah. And my gut's kind of healing up, which is good. I have some writer's block, but I'm working through it. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I'm in a good spot right now. Right. I'm like, I'm doing all right. I got a job I like at a new, you know, truck stop.
I think my only fuck off really would be I ended up getting sick a couple of weeks ago. Honest to God, it was just a head cold, but because of the pandemic, and I have taken isolating particularly seriously.
Legit.
So I really haven't been exposed to a whole lot. So in the last like month, I've gotten the stomach flu and this head cold from hell, both from the adorable little vectors that I take care of. And
they're like little petri dishes of love.
Little kids are a vector anyway, but the thing is Logan the baby keeps really getting hammered with it, and it's because he's a pandemic baby.
So well, yeah,
pandemic babies have no, like, they don't have that baseline immune system that most kids had, because by that point in time they've been exposed to stuff. And then I think with just the rest of us, because again we've been taking isolating seriously, it just fucking like dropped me. Like, I the first 2 days I was like, this has to be allergies, like sneezing, you know, blowing my nose constantly, head like just pressure in my head. It felt like when I'd lay down at night, it felt like somebody was dumping concrete in my sinuses as I was laying down, and then it just never went away. And I was like, I think this is a head cold, because normally, like, when you get a head cold, yeah, or you kind of sniffling, maybe you got a headache, but this was, I think it was probably 2 weeks, and I'm still dealing with the after effects of it.
Oh God. Yeah. That's the only thing that really sucks about this, you know, going back, you know, and everything, is that you get so susceptible.
Yeah. Like,
to
and like
everything.
Shit that, like, that normally like my immune system would just kind of shrug off.
Yeah.
But nope.
And not only that though, but then there's also the the paranoia you get.
Yeah.
Because you're like, sure. What is this? What is this? Do I have it? And it's like, well, I had a lot of friends who've been like picking it up, which really sucks. And and they've been very careful. I mean, there's only so much you can do, to be perfectly honest. And I'm not going to lie, I go out and I have fun and stuff like that, but I try to be as cautious as I possibly can. Sure. And but still, it's like, it's unnerving because you're like, did it happen? Is it the time, it has come, you know? Right. And it's freaky. It really is, you know?
Again, like what we were talking about off air, like I have asthma. I am particularly motivated in avoiding COVID.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I still mask up when I go out. I aggressively hand sanitize before and after at like the grocery store and stuff. Hilariously, my older tiny nephew, Ethan, learned the hard way that just because hand sanitizer from Bath and Body Works smells good, that doesn't mean that it tastes good.
Oh yeah, that's a lesson we all learn at some point in our lives.
He blurted it into his hands, and I told him to rub it in, and instead he licked it, and then he ran around the house like he was rabid with his mouth hanging open, and all this pink drool streaming out of his mouth because it's called Ghoul Friend or something, so it's like pomegranate and cherry or something like that.
It's kind of like when we pilled one of Ace's cats and it started foaming at the mouth because of the bitterness.
Yeah. It was just like, and it's one of those things where it's like, I'm laughing as I'm chasing him and his mother's laughing and we're trying to like wipe his mouth out and all he's doing is just running and screaming. And the baby doesn't know what's going on, but he thinks it's a party, so he's getting in on it.
That is fucking hilarious.
It was truly like one of those moments where you're like, oh, I guess I should have said something before I gave it to him.
You're like, but I wouldn't have had this beautiful moment that I'm having right now.
Well, and the other thing too is it's like, it's hand sanitizer. You don't think I should tell him not to eat it. You think that's hand sanitizer. Ew. Not when it smells good.
But not when it smells good and you're a small child. I mean,
hand sanitizer smells. Well, yeah, and he's only 3.
I mean, yeah, I mean, 3 years old, you're going to, I mean, at 3 years old, I probably would have eaten hand sanitizer. I used to eat lip gloss. I mean,
100%.
I had a lip gloss that smelled like root beer, and I ate that sucker. Yeah, it didn't taste like root beer, but I totally ate it.
But it was probably sweet enough. I can remember being a kid and sucking still. On Advil to get the sweet coating and then the Advil.
See, I never went to that extreme, but I did eat lip gloss.
So. My kid brother and I would also eat baby aspirin because it tasted like orange.
I don't know why that makes me laugh so hard, but it really does.
It's fucking hilarious. And what makes it even dumber is I didn't get my stomach pumped, but I had syrup of Epicac poured down my throat when I was probably 3 or 4 because my parents came home with a giant thing of children's chewable multivitamins.
You
and
ate them all.
I sat down
with
my friends and we decided, we ate the whole fucking bottle because we wanted to watch ourselves turn colors.
Oh.
And the hilarious
my
part
God.
Was because we weren't hiding, we were sitting right there. But my parents.
Right in front of you.
The thing was because we lived on base. And so when you're a military family, usually you go to the commissary to go shopping because it's cheaper than going to in town stores.
Yeah.
And so my mom and dad would go to the commissary and it would be like a 6-8 hour event. Like I'm not speaking hyperbolically. They would be gone literally all day grocery shopping. And then they would come home with like the car would just be like fucking jammed with bags, like probably 20, 30 bags that had to be taken out. And so they would do the thing where they would find the light one for me to carry into the house. Cause all of the kids, you know, got called in to help. And they gave me one that was light and I found the bottle and I asked what it was. And somebody said, it's multivitamins. And I said, oh, are they for me? And they said, yeah, they're for you and TW. And so I was like, fuck yeah, party in the front yard. And so I just called all my friends and we sat right fucking there while 4 other people screamed past us carrying shit in the house. But, you know, they saw me out of the corner of their eyes. They're like, she's fine. Like everybody who's ever taken care of a kid has had this happen. Where
you're not wrong.
And it's not until they've been quiet for too long that you start to realize they've
that
been
you're
quiet
like, wait a second.
What are you doing over there? And it's always something gross, something they shouldn't be doing, or a combination of the two.
Or you have to, you know, throw Epicat down their face.
So they Epicat me, God. And I just remember walking around barfing. for like 3 days. All I did was puke. Oh
my god. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm laughing at your pain. I know, but hey,
it was miserable. Hey man, I just remember I had this little green cardigan, and we lived in San Diego when this happened. And of course. On the Balboa Naval Base, and I huddled in my little, what'd you say?
I know exactly where that is.
Yep, I was born there. And I huddled in my little cardigan while barfing my brains out.
Oh my god.
Whoever got that house after us, I hope your roses grew beautifully, because I fertilized every fucking inch of that place.
Was pretty much just the lip gloss for me, but I definitely, you know, did other stupid shit when I was little. Oh, yeah. So I was hardly a brilliant child by any stretch of the imagination. So
I think it was roughly that same age too that I stole a creamsicle from the store.
Uh-huh.
Because I wanted an ice cream, and nobody would say I had money in my piggy bank, and nobody would help me get it out of my piggy bank. So that I and walk me down to the corner store, which was at the bottom of this little trail. So we could go down. I just wanted to buy a damn creamsicle so I could have an ice cream, and nobody would do it. And so I was like, well, I'm going to do it by myself. And because this was the early 80s and nobody thought about paying attention to their small children, I was maybe four, maybe. I walked down to that fucking grocery store by myself and walked in and walked over to the freezer section. I was so little. That it was one of those like standing chests where you open the top and you bend down in to get out the frozen treat.
Oh, I remember. Yep.
And I was so little that I had hoisted myself up and was seesawing on my belly trying to reach and still couldn't reach. And this nice woman said, do you need me to get that for you? And she did. Like, I was so little, I couldn't reach down in it. And then I said, thank you. I'm going to go back to my mom now, and walked right past the cashier and right out of the store and walked, I strutted my ass up the up the path eating my creamsicle and was just like, yeah, fuck you guys. And
did anyone even notice that you were gone is my question. No,
but they noticed that.
That's even better.
They noticed I had the fucking creamsicle.
Where did you get that? It was the store.
Exactly.
Where else do I get it?
Yeah, so my sister goes, where did you get that? And I said, I got it from the store, because I'm really proud of myself. And she's like, how did you pay for it? And it was like, here's where we've run into the problem. And I was like, I got the money out of my piggy bank. My piggy bank was up where I couldn't reach it.
Of course.
And she's like, how did you get it? And I was like, and so then, because I'm little, instead of saying I dragged a chair over and then put it away, I was like, I grew my arms really long and I reached up and grabbed
it. Of course you said that. Of course you said that.
I got sat down by my parents and where did you get that? Where I think honestly, I think they were more concerned that, like, a stranger had given it to me.
Yeah,
I was making up the entire... No, I just stole it. I just fucking stole it.
It's fucking hilarious. Just like, I got nothing.
I think they were very relieved.
Oh, thank God. It's not stranger danger. She's right. Just a thief.
Apologies to that Alpha Beta in San Diego in 1982.
Oh, Alpha Beta. Wow. There's a name I haven't heard in many, many moons. Oh, my God.
That's where we always grew up in shock. We were in Southern California. It was Alpha Beta.
Yeah, we had an Alpha Beta down the street from us when I was a kid. So I remember. Mm-hmm. I remember the Alpha Beta. I remember getting lost in an Alpha Beta because they were so fucking big. So
well, we weren't the one we had.
Neither was I. But guess what I did? I wandered. I just, and then I got lost. I could not find my goddamn mom. So
gotta love it.
These things happen. It. This is why I don't have kids. I got knit and I have severe anxiety. So, I mean, there you go.
And you learn to compartmentalize the anxiety. So it's like three-fourths of your brain you're doing whatever you're doing. But there's that one-fourth of your brain that is constantly either listening for them or looking at them.
Yeah, true. True that. So.
That's what it's like when I take the boys outside to play in the front yard. And Logan, the baby, can climb. I mean, he can walk now. But that little shit has figured out how to climb up his brother's swing set. And so there's a little tiny climbing wall that climbs up to a little platform, and then they can go down the slide. And the platform is probably like shoulder high on me. And fucking Logan scoots right up it. And it's just like, well, I hate everything about this. And the minute you get him down, he's climbing right back up it. And it's like,
you're all like, you didn't like it the first time. What makes you think the situation's going to change?
He loved it. I'm the one that didn't like it.
Oh, never mind. That's why you said he didn't like it. Never mind.
It's me basically being like, I hate everything about this. Just waiting for him to stand up and then topple right off of it.
And he's just like, nope, let's just do it again. Yeah.
He's that like horrible like age where he's like a danger to himself and to others now.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I remember when my nephews were that age and I was just like, I'm going to have a fucking heart attack someday.
He and Ethan like to jump on Ethan's bed because Logan's still in a crib.
I still laugh to this day about when, you know, my friend Colleen had, she had two kids, and when they were really little, the little boy was at our house, and we let him like kind of just run around because our kitchen and our living room, there's no like doors. You can just run in a circle around, in through the, pretty much. And so we were just letting them, we actually childproofed the house before they came over and did everything we could. And do you mind if he just like, gets it out of his system? I'm like, yeah, let him run around. It's no big deal. And so we just let him kind of like do his thing, and he's running around and he's running in a circle through the kitchen, through the living room, through the kitchen, through the living room, goes through the kitchen. He comes back out of the living room with a fucking kitchen knife.
Yep.
We don't know where he got the goddamn kitchen knife. And I was all like, whoa. I was just like, wait a minute.
Hey, can I have that, please? Thank you.
I was just like, and then of course we're all chasing after him as he's running now everywhere with the kitchen knife, lapping his ass off. And
best,
I'm like,
yeah, the best game ever. No, that's yeah. It.
He's like,
that's,
this is the best thing ever. And like, no, it's
that's
not.
The thing.
No.
You don't give them incentive to run.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
Like,
her
oh
first
my god,
kid.
You're so smart. Come here so I can take it away from you, you little shit.
Yeah, well, this was her first kid. Yeah, I don't have kids.
All,
I was just
all
like,
all learning,
get the fucking thing out of her mouth. Yeah.
Just, the other day, I was babysitting.
God, that was
boys,
so funny.
And Logan was in the, I let Ethan go in Jacob and Taylor's room because he likes to, they have a love sack, one of those gigantic beanbags.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he likes to like lay in it and watch children's shows on his tablet, basically. So I let him be in there. And apparently this was the day that he decided it was time to investigate mommy and daddy's bathroom.
Because first
I'm sitting on the couch, I'm watching Logan. That's the baby. And he's got something purple and he's like hitting it on his naked little chubby baby leg.
Oh God.
And I look and I realize it's a beauty blender. And so what I text Taylor and I'm like, is Logan supposed to have your beauty blender? And she's like, God damn it. No, they must've gotten it out of the bathroom. I take the beauty blender and I put it up.
Yeah.
And then just constantly like shit coming out of the room where I'm like, that is not yours. Put it back. Finally, I got so bad that I went and got the toddler knob, and put it on the bathroom door and closed the bathroom because it was Ethan. He was being so obnoxious. But at one point in time, he comes out of his parents' bedroom and he has this thing. It looks like he's ringing a little purple bell.
Uh-oh.
And he goes, Uncle
oh,
Stacy,
no.
because
oh,
I'm,
no.
I'm Uncle Stacy. Yeah. Yes. He goes, what's
oh, no.
this? It's his mother's
oh, no.
diva cup.
I know. I'm like, it's a fucking diva cup, isn't it? Oh, God.
And
no.
I said, that is your mom's. And I take it away from him. And that went up in the case too. Then later, I just kicked him out of the bedroom because he was being such a butt. But then he, at some point in time, he got something out from under their bed. I don't know what it was. It was a plain box. And we were not opening it. Because I had a sneaking sensation that it was something sexy and I don't need to be a part of that. And so, it's just,
you're like, no, that's an electric ear cleaner. Please give that to me.
It's not even that, because the thing is his parents are my nephew and his wife, my niece-in-law. So these are actually my great nephews. So it's just one of those things where it's like, my nephew doesn't need me knowing about his sex life and I don't need to know about my nephew's sex life. I'm still traumatized over traumatizing his younger brother when the house burned down and Lucas saw my dildo. So that was horrible enough.
That I get.
Well, and it was just one of those moments where like we're trying to salvage what we can. And it's like, it was like a family circus cartoon where Jeffy looks at something on the counter and you see the dots pointing towards it.
Yes.
It was like,
yes,
I could see the dotted line shoot out of Lucas's eye right onto my fucking dildo that was right on the headboard of my bed.
Oh, yeah.
And so I ended up apologizing to him later on that night, which was great because he got this look on his face like he didn't know if he wanted to laugh or run away. Because I said, I'm really sorry that you had to see that. And he gets that look on his face. He goes, what do you mean? And it's like, you know exactly what I mean, you little shit.
You know what I mean. Don't act
I said,
like
I'm
you don't know
sorry
what
that
I mean.
You need to know anything about your aunt's sex life. He's just like, it was okay.
Oh,
and
I'm shit.
Like, no, Lucas, it was
no, it was okay. Not okay.
It wasn't
there was
okay
nothing
for
okay about
of
any
us.
Of this. And the narrator comes in. It was not okay.
It's not okay. Exactly. But so I was just expecting that to be like, you know, Ethan pulls out whatever Jacob and Taylor get up to in their private hours. And it was just like, we're done. Get your tablet. Get the hell out. You're not in this room anymore. But yeah, after the diva, and then I had to text Taylor and be like, so he found your moon cup. And she's like, oh my God. She goes, he does that. He, every once in a while, he gets his hair up his ass and he goes into our bathroom and just rifles through the drawers. They need toddler locks on those drawers.
I mean, that's fucking hilarious. Just,
yeah.
Al, at least you didn't have to take it out of his mouth. I mean, there's that.
I mean, so, yeah, it was clean. I wasn't too worried about it.
I'm
but it
sure
was just
it was
one
clean,
of those
but still.
Like, it's like, damn it. Can't you just fucking watch Dino Ranchers?
Can you sit down and please watch just Wonder Pets for 5 seconds?
No, I would rather go through the bathroom than have to hear Wonder Pets.
I mean, touche. I had to hear Wonder Pets the majority of my life when the kids were young. So
no,
I'm kind of
that was my hard rule.
Immune
like,
to
we
it.
We could watch Blue's Clues. We could watch Roly Poly Oly. Like, we could watch Bear in the Big Blue House. We could watch
those
Eureka's
were all
Castle.
Entertaining, though.
I am not fucking putting up with Wonder Pets.
Yeah, Wonder Pets
especially
was that was a
duckling.
Thing.
Every time Wonder Pets comes on, all I can think of is there's an Italian jolly called Who Could Murder a Duckling, and I'm like, me.
You're like, I can.
Duckling
I can
Wonder
murder
Pets.
A fucking duckling.
I can murder that duckling and sing a song.
I will
it,
murder that duckling. So shall we get at it before we dive down a rabbit hole of Wonder Pets?
A further rabbit hole. Yes.
Yes. All right. So. Yes.
Kiss Meets Scooby-Doo and Rock and Roll Mystery was my suggestion.
Yep.
Because hilariously, for some fucking reason, we had it at the facility I used to work at. Don't ask me why.
The whole thing is kind of like a weird drug trip. So, I mean,
it super is. But it's essentially, it's exactly what it sounds like. Scooby-Doo goes to Kiss World, which is Kiss's non-existent theme park that I think they've been talking about since like the 70s.
Yeah,
I
mean,
wasn't that the name of the park in Kiss and the Phantom of the Park?
I think so. I haven't seen Phantom of the Park in forever, but there is, I think it was supposed to be like a Kiss theme, you know, a theme park or something.
It definitely was, but I think it was also called Kiss World.
Yeah, Roy, I think, just did like an episode on Cult Cinema, you know, his Cult Cinema podcast.
Uh-huh,
so Roy,
yeah.
If you hear this, please let us know exactly what was going on with the Kiss the Phantom of the Park, because I cannot remember. I remember it when I was a kid.
I'm sure it was basically a live action Scooby-Doo episode.
I'm sure it is. That tried to take itself seriously.
So fucking funny for me is that Scooby-Doo and Kiss have a weird history together. They did an episode in the 90s where whatever incarnation of Scooby-Doo was going on met Kiss. And then they did, my favorite was, there was an episode of one of the classic Scooby-Doos in the 70s.
Yeah, I remember that in the 70s. That was one of my favorite episodes when they used to do the guest stars.
Right,
it was always like,
it wasn't Kiss. It was, I don't remember who the guest star was, but it was like a haunted radio station.
Yeah.
And it was like the demon or something like that. It was like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah,
and
it looked
like that. And it was Gene Simmons,
like,
but with red hair.
Yeah, pretty much.
But
it was that weird.
I don't think they had Kiss's permission. That's what makes it so funny.
That wouldn't surprise me. It's fucking Hanna-Barbera. So, I mean, there you go.
Yeah, it was probably like, you know, fucking Davy Jones or somebody like that.
It was probably,
anyway.
I always just assume it was Don Knotts, because Don Knotts was always a guest star.
Don Knotts was always a guest star.
Don Knotts and
star.
Kim and Tim Conway. That's what
and, what's his name? The guy who sang Pretty Mary Sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
I
forgot his name. Little Mary Sunshine. It's all right with me.
It's all right with me. Pretty Mary Sunshine.
I used to.
She is everything
I used to like.
I need.
Sing that
Jerry
at people whenever we would like run around, like whenever they were like running around backstage at a theater I was working at, and they were looking for something, I would just sing that to them, and they would
Beatles
be like, are you fucking
bands.
Serious? I'm like,
the
yeah.
Beatles
oh, yes.
Band did their musical break in the middle of it while everybody was
yes, always. Oh, yes. Oh, God. I loved Scooby-Doo as a kid. So
I
was all like, you didn't really have to convince me very hard to do this one.
No. I can put Scooby-Doo on and turn off my brain and just have a grand old time. I unapologetically adore Scooby-Doo and the Goblin King because it was a Halloween made for TV movie that they did where it's the magic is real, it's super Halloween-y, they had all of these guest stars. Tim Curry plays not one but two voices.
Of course.
Jay Leno is a really obnoxious jack-o'-lantern. It was just a grand old time. And I'm not only saying that because I wanted to fuck the Goblin King, who bore a
You?
striking
What?
resemblance. I know.
No.
The resident monster fucker wanted to fuck a monster. Surely you did.
I'm really, really stunned that you
Me
wanted to fuck
too.
the Goblin
Oh
King.
no,
I'm
I'm
just
so
like, what?
surprised. I'm so,
How, what?
what was the line from Aladdin? I'm gonna have a heart attack from not surprise.
Yes.
But he bore a striking resemblance to a more human-sized Chernabog, and God knows I'm down for that. Anyway, the animation in it is really good too. We may actually have to do that on a future episode because it is unapologetically a love letter to Halloween, and I loved everything about
I'm always down. I'm always down for
it.
like doing some epic Scooby-Doo stuff. But so I watched it this morning, and it was what I loved about it so much was it was everything that a Scooby-Doo episode was as a kid, and then it just like elevated it to almost like parody in some ways, because it's
Kind
like,
of, yeah.
and
Well,
I
and it
loved
was
it because one,
Kiss
there
was
was a lot
100.
of bizarre sexual tension through that whole
Yes,
fucking episode. And I was
Daphne
like,
wanted to go to
oh,
town on Star Child.
Yeah,
And Star
Daphne
Child would have been
clearly
down.
wanted to. Oh yeah, I was like, oh, okay, I'm feeling uncomfortable. And then Fred being Fred and completely
Right.
oblivious with his Ascot Five,
The
that cat
Ascot
fucking
Five.
killed me.
Yes,
The
don't tug
Ascot
my
Five band.
ascot. Don't tug my ascot.
And there's the whole like thing where he starts getting like flirty with the special effects nerd
Yes,
girl,
yes.
and
Well, and the
then
funny thing
Daphne
about
gets
that,
jealous and
the funny thing about it is there, so like there's tons of like Scooby-Doo in jokes and references. Like there's a great bit where they did callbacks to some of like the original animations and the original opening
yeah. Oh
theme
yeah, it
song, like the
totally did.
skull that splashed up and stuff like
Yes, it
that.
totally did.
But what I fucking loved about this is, first of all, the animation is top fucking notch. Like that was some good, those were some good
The
fucking
animation was
explosions.
actually really good, all things considered. The new Scooby-Doo actually has always had really good animation. And this one was
But
no
a lot of
exception.
these, well, they've done a lot of these little sort of straight to DVD Scooby-Doo movies, and a lot of them are like they're great for kids, but like the animation's choppy. There might be one or two
Yeah.
funny bits. Like it's one of those things where like you can have it on the background, but it's not really going to catch your attention. But this one really had like they had a couple of bucks probably because Kiss was involved.
And
Everybody
I
from
love the fact
Kiss
that, yeah,
did
they're
their own
really,
voices.
really good at making fun of themselves. I
They
gotta
are.
give Kiss a
They
lot
are.
of credit for that
Well,
because they just literally made fun of themselves the
oh yeah,
entire
start to
episode.
finish. The guy who was the voice Chip Magoo or whatever, it was actually their producer, Doc McGee or
Yes.
something like that. The guy who's
And
constantly
that,
going, guys,
yeah.
these interests cost money, okay? These confetti bombs aren't cheap. So they do some kind of like awesome, explosion appearance in confetti, and then he's right behind them with a push broom, like being like, you guys need to knock it off. This isn't free.
And then he would just kind of pop up out of nowhere going, you could buy this for 1999. And there'd
Yes,
be like
that
a
was hilarious.
advertisement all the
Kiss
time. Like,
the Kiss themed toilet that he was
yeah,
trying to offload.
the Kiss themed smelling salts, the
Yes,
Kiss
the
themed,
Kiss
like
themed
all of that.
handcuffs, the Kiss themed barf bag, which Shaggy
Yes.
used at one point.
Yes. Oh, God.
But so the premise is real basic. It's the mystery gang is going to see Kiss at Kiss World. They're going to do a Halloween night concert. They're super
And they're
excited
all
because
dressed up
Daphne's,
as Kiss in the very beginning of the episode,
except for Freddy.
except for Freddy.
Yes. Shaggy,
Because
Scooby, and Daphne are really into it, and then Velma dressed up because even though she finds they're dressing up to be juvenile and rather childish, her mother told her that she needs to embrace her friend's interests a little
yes,
bit more,
I
which I
will
thought
have to
was
say
great.
that I love so much like how Scooby-Doo has evolved over the years, and
Oh,
it's
fuck
just
yeah.
kind of become a parody of itself. And I love how these characters have kind of evolved into
But it's
something
a
fucking
parody
hilarious. Like
without being
Freddy is hilariously naive, and
and
I love
clinging
how Velma has
angrily to the
become
things that he's
so
into.
goddamn. Oh yeah, and I love how Velma has become so goddamn cynical. She makes
Yes,
me
and
laugh so. And Velma
sarcastic.
was always my favorite, so I love her even more now that she's just become this sarcastic Daria of the group,
Yes. Yes, she really
essentially.
has, hasn't she?
Yes. And I just love her. And I just, it's such a fun, it was
Well,
really
it's
fun.
Mindy
It was,
Kaling doing her voice, which was great.
yes. And I was dying at Penny Marshall popping in as the kiss elder.
Yes.
Where I was like watching it and I'm like, is that fucking Penny Marshall?
That fucking accent. And then her brother is the guy who's running fucking the Kiss theme park.
Yes.
Gary Marshall was Mr. Goldstein or whatever the hell.
It's just it just kept getting funnier and funnier. Okay. What I loved so much was how it literally took like three different turns where I was like,
yeah,
it's pretty much at the very beginning, it's very typical Scooby-Doo with the chase scenes and all that.
Well, yeah, you've got the teaser starter where it's like two people who are working on this ride at Kiss World get haunted by the Crimson Witch, which incidentally, the two voice actors were Jay Muse and Kevin Smith.
Oh yeah, that cracked me up too. I was like, oh my God, really?
Especially when Jason Mewes is like, come on, we got to step this up, all the screaming's making my voice hoarse.
Yeah. And they did, so it starts out and then it kind of takes a very strange supernatural turn and it gets like alternate dimensions and stuff. And then after all that is done, it's like, oh, that was all hallucination. We were all gassed. And I was like, what?
But then it wasn't. And then it goes. At the very end.
Yeah. But then at the very end, it turns out it was all true. It was like, what the fuck? Like, I was like,
well, and I think
you could tell that the writers were just like, fuck it, let's just have fun. I don't care.
I think that was the smart way to take it, honestly, because it was kind of thing
totally,
where it's like,
yeah.
They were like super tongue in cheek when it was appropriate for them to be tongue in cheek, but then it wasn't tongue in cheek when it came to like the big like showdown and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And
I think that's what made it fun is that the sincerity it ended up getting.
It was like tongue in cheek, but it never felt jeering, basically.
Yeah.
Like it was, everybody was kind of taking the piss out of each other, but it was done in sort of a loving way.
It was never done out of malice. It was always done at like for fun. There was always this kind of like happiness to it.
Yeah,
you know?
And there were characters that were very deliberately over the top, like fucking was it? Chiara or whatever her name was that Jennifer Carpenter did the voice of the psychic.
Yes.
Who chewed the scenery so hard she had to have had splinters in her teeth. She had to have had splinters in her teeth.
I love that fucking psychic woman where she just literally just came in, was all like, it was the witch.
You don't understand.
And then like left and everyone was like, oh, okay.
She reminds me of the old witch character from the episode of Freakazoid with Larry Talbot,
yes,
the Wolfman. Who will give me car fare? Don't give it to her. She does this all the time. I heard that. I curse you.
Yes.
I curse you. I curse you. I curse you. Goodbye.
She walks out the door. Reminded me of it reminded me of like Young Frankenstein.
Yes.
Time.
It does kind of have like a like tonally it is kind of similar to Young Frankenstein, isn't it?
Yeah.
But basically what happens is this witch, the Crimson Witch, who is honestly kind of a badass character design. Like the first time I watched
cheesy but funny and awesome.
Well, my coworker and I thought that that'd be kind of like a badass cosplay to do.
Yeah.
And very, very appropriate for a Kiss villain, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But part of what makes all of this so funny too is I guess there's a lot of Kiss in jokes in there. Like I'm not a hardcore Kiss fan.
I'm not a hardcore Kiss fan either.
I bought a couple of songs after watching this, but it was just because they were songs that I knew from childhood and because I loved these movies.
Yeah,
so much.
I mean, that's the same thing with me as a kid too. I wasn't a big giant Kiss fan.
Well,
I don't know much about them.
We were kind of the generation after Kiss.
Yeah.
Like it was more
my
like,
sister
like
was
not...
more of the yeah.
Go ahead.
My sister was more of the Kiss generation.
Yeah.
She was, you know,
was,
that was her.
Not...
We were
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I keep interrupting you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. But they were more like I said, we were more on the very tail end of that generation.
Yeah. It was kind of the like half step generation. Like it wasn't a complete generation back, but it was more like much older siblings or like older cousins would have been to it.
Yeah.
Like, people who would have been teenagers in like the 70s and 80s, basically.
Yeah. My sister, like that was her exact age. And she was,
my sister wasn't,
she remembers
Kiss,
Kiss better
wasn't.
Than I
she,
do.
She's
I mean,
age
she,
appropriate, but she's not, she's
yeah.
Not
my, neither was my sister, but I mean, that was the right age group. That was, so we were like, so on the tail end, there's only
like
a little bit we remember, you know,
like Wendy is really into Kiss. She's really been into Kiss for years.
The people who are into Kiss are really fucking into Kiss.
I don't think she considers herself a member of the Kiss army or anything like that.
No.
She knows a lot of Kiss songs. But in fact, I was telling her about this movie and telling her she had to fucking watch it because I know she'll love it. But
actually, I think she would.
I do
It's
too.
just so funny.
But it, well, it was funny, but then it was like, it was kind of like the opening, sort of opening credits for it. They did, You Drive Us Wild and We'll Drive You Crazy with just this like fucking awesome animation. Where
the
it's them.
Animation that was really well art directed,
It was
actually.
super cool. Yeah, it made the members of the band look very 70s, like very stylized, like 70s, not Yellow Submarine, but kind of in a similar recognizably
Very
stylized kind of way.
It was very like,
but
there were certain
the
moments of it that kind of reminded me of Hasu. There was just
kind
like
of,
it was
but then the Mystery Inc. gang all look exactly like they would have looked in the opening credits of like the original Scooby-Doo. In fact, that's where they throw a lot of the callbacks to the original Scooby-Doo. But I fucking love that opening animation. I've watched it so fucking many times.
It's really nice. I mean, it's really well done.
And part of what makes it that's cool about this too is that there are actual Kiss songs in it. So you've got all of the members of the band voicing their eponymous characters. Like nobody ever comes out and says, "Oh, hey, it's Gene Simmons. He's just the demon." It's just the demon, the star child, the
Space
Man.
They are pretty much their Kiss personas, and that's it.
Yeah, they're their personas.
And,
that's it.
And I do laugh about it where it's like pretty much the star child at his voice, Paul, Paul Stanley. There's something about his voice that makes me laugh so hard because it's like you look at him and then there's that voice. It just kind of comes out of him like this.
The one who was killing me was the spaceman because he's just, he's with Velma during most of it. And he's just like, oh yeah. Like, there's this whole thing where the Crimson Witch is looking for the rock, and it turns out it's a black diamond, and it turns out that this is supposed to be the rock from Detroit Rock City.
Yes, that they were awarded.
Fucking hilarious. And apparently that picture is a parody of an actual picture of Kiss that exists.
Oh,
but
God, that's even better.
Accepting the rock. But there's a whole bit where Velma's like, it stands for Detroit, like the rock in Detroit Rock City. And Spaceman's like, yeah. And she goes, I just assumed it was a reference to rock and roll. And he gets really quiet for a minute. And he goes, oh yeah, that would have worked too, huh? Like I was just fucking dying.
That whole, like all of those jokes were like that. Like they were so like everything. They were, I love that they portrayed Kiss as both like very intelligent and yet so dumb at the same time.
There was a great bit where, so Freddie's super jealous because Daphne is like fangirling hard over Star
She
Child,
is literally
Star Child.
Throwing herself giant first at Star Child.
And Star Child is more than ready to catch her. And the thing that part of it so fucking funny is, of course, they're drawn in their prime. But in real fucking life, Paul Stanley is my mother's age.
Oh,
and
yeah, they're up there. They're
reason,
in their 80s
they're
by
in
now.
Their 70s and 80s, yeah. And for some fucking reason, that disparity of a guy who's literally my mother's age. My mother was born in 1949. I think he was born in 1952. So he's older than my dad.
There's something unnerving about it. It's just
it's fucking hilarious. And I don't
It's unnerving
why.
And hilarious.
It's like a weird second puberty or something like that. But
oh my God.
There's a great fucking bit where Daphne and Freddie are with Star Child and they're poking around at these, I think they're supposed to be like bumper cars, where Scooby and Shaggy were chased by the Crimson Witch. And so Daphne asks Freddie to take some selfies of her with Star Child. And that whole bit is great too, because Daphne's already posed and smiling. And Freddie's like, really, Daphne, really? And she still has the smile. And she's like, he's a rock star, Freddie. How many opportunities are we going to get to take pictures like that, Freddie?
Yes.
And he takes the pictures.
And his thumb's in the way.
And his thumb is on Star Child's face and every fucking shot.
Yeah.
And he goes, you get to see Freddie be just like beautifully passive aggressive and bitchy.
It was beautiful. It was so fucking funny. Yes.
Well, and part of what makes it so funny too is that's Frank Welker doing the voice of Freddie, which is really funny when Star Child keeps calling him Frank. But Frank Welker is the only original Scooby-Doo cast member still.
Yeah, he's the only one. Well, he keeps coming back as both Scooby and Freddy all the
Scooby
time.
Well,
so.
He's Scooby now. Originally, it was, I've forgotten the actor's name. I knew it last night and I can't remember it today. who was originally Scooby-Doo, and he died in like the 80s, I think.
Yeah.
But now Frank Welker also does Scooby-Doo. And Frank Welker is also like my mother's age. So I just, poor Daphne is just being double teamed by old men disguised as young men. Although I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, sounds about
if
right.
If Frank Welker was interested, I would totally put out for him. Anyway, Frank Welker and Peter Cullen, they're on my, I don't give a shit. I mean, if you're on a respirator in a hospital bed, if you want me to fuck you, I will fuck you, sir.
Hey, you know what? I don't kink shame. That's I you. Just need you, all, you do Cullen, you, boo. You do you.
I just
you.
Need Peter Cullen to say Autobots transform and roll out, and I will make my O face. Anyway, so Frank Welker's pretty fucking good looking for an older dude, too. They kind of.
I mean, you're not wrong. I kind of love Frank Welker, so.
I love Frank Welker. Anyway, so Freddie's being like catty and jealous and, you know, very hard, clinging very hard to his Ascot and his favorite band, the Ascot Five.
In I fact, love the Ascot time, Five.
There's a comment where Daphne's railing on Freddie for not knowing that Kiss fans are referred to as the Kiss Army and how, like, you know, it's a mob when people go into their concerts and she goes, has there ever been a mob at the Ascot Five, Freddie? And he goes, no, it's more like a sedate stroll. And then we get there in the end. And it was so just beautifully delivered.
Gonna say that I would probably listen to the Ascot Five. I'm not gonna lie, I'm one of those people.
I mean, we do get a hint of them throughout
I'm with you, Freddie.
Freddie and Dad and Cindy can go listen to the Ascot Five.
We're gonna go to an Ascot Five concert together we're gonna wear matching ascots.
They're gonna sit in the Mystery Machine, brilliant. And they're gonna listen to it at a sensible volume.
And we're going to walk to the concert in a reasonable fashion. And we'll get there when we get there.
And it's
a sedate pace, and we'll get there when we get there. Exactly. That's how it's gonna go.
It's not going anywhere. But so then Daphne's pissed off because she didn't get any pictures, and immediately Paul Stanley, wearing a beret, has an easel set up and tells her not to worry that he's painted her and Freddie. And when you see the painting, he's painted a thumb over Freddie's face. And I laughed so fucking hard in that bit.
That was pretty fucking funny.
I guess that's a nod to Paul Stanley. Like, I guess he's a pretty acclaimed painter in real life, which is kind of cool.
I did not know that, but hey, rock on.
Right? I guess there's nods to, rock on Star Child. There's nods to other past members of Kiss. And I guess when they're looking at the tome of Kiss in the psychic's house, I don't know what any of it means, but it's nod, because I know that I think Gene Simmons may be the only one who's the original member of Kiss now. Paul Stanley's been there for a while, but I don't think he was the first.
I honestly have no idea, because I know
he's been Star Child for a really long time, because he's the one who wrote most of the songs that they performed in this. So I actually ended up, I got to give Daphne some credit, because when I first watched this, so I do really like the song I Was Made for Loving You.
Yeah.
Kiss. And that's a great scene where they play music and it's sort of weaponized, which was a pretty fucking cool scene. Well, they're flying through this alternative dimension.
Yes.
On a giant
which makes me
ship.
Laugh because it's man, okay, like... Can I back up just for a minute? And I just want to talk about my favorite, the moment that literally made me laugh out loud was right before they went into an alternate dimension and they go to unmask the Crimson Witch and they're all like, let's see who she really is. They and they pull it off and she's this horrible ghoul screaming and they're like, oh, I don't think she was one of our suspects. Yeah,
she wasn't on the suspect list.
That fucking killed me. I'm not gonna lie. I was dying at that.
And again, that was a nice nod to, Scooby-Doo, where it's always old man Jenkins or what have you.
Yes. They were just like, oh, shit.
She wasn't on the suspect list that we pulled up. But
that was so funny.
So it's this whole thing where they have to use the, what do they call it? The portal of destiny. And Velma goes, you want a Ferris wheel?
Really, it opens a portal.
No, really, it opens a portal. And I think that was the spaceman. No, it opens a portal into the Kiss world. Or into the mighty land of Kisteria. But he delivers it just like
I love
that
they called it. There's
Kisteria.
No emphasis whatsoever.
Yeah, no.
Kisteria made me laugh.
Into the mighty realms of Kisteria.
I am going to say it was a missed opportunity for not calling it Kistanbul. But that's just me.
I mean, I will give you that for sure.
I mean, well, I'm just going to say, you know.
Well, what I was wondering too is because apparently, like, there's a whole, like, fucking backstory that these characters have since been given, and, like, the comics and shit. Like, the whole, I remember when the Kiss Psycho Circus thing came out because that was sort of the first run.
I remember the McFarlane figures and all that.
There was
that.
A guy
I
had a
that.
Crush on who was like hardcore into Kiss. In fact, he kind of ruined one Halloween for us because rather than going out and doing something, he insisted that we had to watch Kiss Psycho Circus when it aired, and it was shite.
Oh, God.
It was an hour-long presentation. They played two songs. All the rest of it was commercials. I'm not fucking kidding.
Oh, shit. That sucks.
Glad we were all angry and glaring at Scott. But so, anyway.
Happy fucking Halloween!
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know if, like, the Elder and all of this shit is, like, something that's from the comics or if it's something that they made up entirely.
I don't know, but
this.
It was beautiful just because I really loved seeing her come in
fucking
and be all
Penny
like,
Marshall is
you
the
gotta
elder.
Take the rock out of the thing or the destroyer will rise.
Exactly. The destroyer is gonna rise and he's gonna eat Earth. But
yeah.
what
and she was so
truly,
like, whatever.
So they end up in Kisteria and it's like all of these like glam rock Vikings basically. So it's like you got these like
Everyone's got Kiss musical Kiss makeup on.
Yes, everyone has bright fucking red lipstick on. And there's a great bit where they're talking to the elder, voiced by Penny Marshall, and it is so fucking funny because Freddie abruptly tries to put on some Kiss makeup and does it poorly.
Yes, it's a moon.
And tries to
nice shiner.
tries to introduce or like tries to basically be like, all right, I'm on board too. And he turns around and he's got the white face paint on. He's got red lips. And then he's painted a black moon underneath one eye. And everybody's like, did somebody hit you? And he's like, it's a moon.
It's
like
a
shiner. And there's a great bit where Penny Marshall is the elder then goes, look, you look like a nice boy. But why don't you go over there with your friends and be quiet for a minute, okay?
Yes, that was
so
funny.
Fucking funny.
And he just walks away all dejected.
But Daphne's like, you tried for me.
You tried. Were you trying to impress me?
Yes. Well, and I didn't realize this, but after I finished watching the movie, all the name of every female character in there, except for, you know, Velma and Daphne, are all taken from Kiss songs. So the name of the tech nerd who's hitting on Freddie, that's a Kiss song. There's some reference to the psychic's name in another song.
I never noticed that. That's fucking hilarious.
Donna and Pamela or whoever it was that's helping the tech nerd. Like, that's a name. That's from two Kiss songs. And so
hilarious.
That was a pretty great little nod. But my favorite part of this movie, so it's when they perform I Was Made for Loving You, because it is kind of an unabashedly little badass moment where they're chasing
it
after the Crimson Witch.
It actually kind of was.
Yeah, they're chasing after the Crimson Witch. She's managed to pull Shaggy and Scooby, she pulled them through because they had the rock. And so Kiss and then the remainders of Mystery Inc. follow. And it's really funny because it's the whole thing where Shaggy and Scooby insisted on wearing like the Kiss boots. And they're like, it's really hard to run in platform shoes. And as somebody who's tried to run in Demonias, I can confirm.
I mean, I have run in platform shoes. It hurts like a motherfucker.
Yes,
I'm just saying.
You gotta really tighten those fucking ankles so you don't accidentally roll them. So that whole scene was really funny. But so they start to play, and I really like the animation they used every time that they play because there's a lot of rotoscoping that's going on in it, and it looks really
cool. I could totally tell the rotoscoping, and I was all like, oh yeah, rotoscoping.
Yeah, and like there's a thing, I unabashedly love rotoscoping. Like, I know it's something that's been shit.
No, it doesn't bother me that much.
Sometimes
it's needed, and I think if it's used in like sparingly, like CGI, it could be really awesome.
Yeah, or
that's how I look at it.
Or if you're Ralph Bakshi and you do like an entire weird movie called Fire and Ice with it.
Or Lord of the Rings, you know, just same thing. Ralph Bakshi, I'm looking at you.
Yep, same dude. I really loved that Lord of the Rings, to be fair, before some hardcore Lord of the Rings fan comes in. I couldn't tell you what the movie was about. And I had a crush on Frodo for some reason. And also,
it's because they made Frodo kind of adorable. But
I guess
that movie
really
kind of weirded me out.
I remember that.
Not going to lie. But
That was the first time I saw the All Shall Love Me in Despair with Galadriel.
Yes.
And I remember being love like, me and despair. Also love me and despair.
I actually like to say that at work when I come in. If someone asks me for something, I'll be all, yes, all shall love me in despair. You're doing a good job. Yes. All shall love me in despair.
I shall be a dark goddess. All shall love me in despair. But anyway, yeah, like it was really cool. And I think that they did it right where they rotoscoped it, but they still tried to keep the design. So it was sort of like they rotoscoped the bodies and then the faces were sort of free.
Yeah, I mean, they rotoscoped it, but they kept it in the right style.
Well, right. Yeah. And because like there's a scene towards the end that's very rotoscoped where they're doing the big concert. And like there's a scene where it's very obviously not rotoscoped, the Gene Simmons's face where he does the tongue waggle. But at the same time, you know that if you watched the film that this was rotoscoped from, the tongue waggle probably happened. This is just how they animated it without rotoscoping it.
Yes.
So it was really cool. And this is probably the only Scooby-Doo movie where people have thrown horns. So
yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you on that. And a lot of people did.
A lot of
like I said, it was one of those movies, like it was super fun. I do want to actually touch on for just a moment the fucking Sailor Moon references.
Yes.
That really fucking killed me through the whole, and there was quite a few of them. But the one, the main one was the one where they were like, he's just a man. He puts his clothes on, he puts his pants on one leg at a time. And then they all change their costumes like fucking Sailor Moon. Yes. And I'm talking like, they're exactly like the changes in Sailor Moon.
And then they even have somebody in Japanese, like Katumano underneath.
Yes. And I'm dying because I did laugh my ass off at the Star Child one because I'm like, he's literally Sailor Venus's change with the, he's got the love change, but it's all stars. And I'm like, what the hell? Yes. It was beautiful.
It was so fucking funny. And that was another one where when it was done, their manager's coming behind in a very 70s, like they did the like very stylized Hanna-Barbera 70s suit. Where if you grew up watching Scooby-Doo, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
That's the first time
he comes behind them with the push broom and he's like, you guys, you can't do this costume change every time. It's expensive.
I think that was the second time because the first time was when they first appeared and they had the big confetti bomb.
You're right.
Then he does it again. Like, seriously, man, you got to stop doing this. Yes. It's like a second.
Well, and they kept doing infomercial flashes to Kiss theme stuff, which was fucking hilarious.
Yes.
Kiss themed handcuffs and it'd be like $89.99 crossed out, now $29.99, like it's on like the Home Shopping Network. It was just increasingly more ludicrous things.
It was fucking hilarious. I died. There was just a lot. It was a fun, silly film. Like if you just want to watch, if you're a Scooby-Doo fan, if you want some nostalgia bomb, because I was, I was a kid when I watched Scooby-Doo and I fucking loved Scooby-Doo. I was a Scooby-Doo addict when I was a kid.
Started in 1969. I think, honestly,
and
the reason that
that was my favorite cartoon when I was a kid.
Thing that's older.
Yeah. I mean that I was a huge, fan of it. I watched it, when I was a kid with my grandpa and I have like great memories of Scooby-Doo and it's like, I love the fact that, and there's still that it's still fucking going strong. Yeah. And I love the fact that it was it's a loving parody, the new ones now. Mm-hmm. It's not like it never like cheapens itself like, oh, look how stupid it is. Type of thing. Yeah. You can tell the people who write it really did love the source material, but they really did acknowledge the fact that it's kind of fucking absurd.
I really appreciated that.
That
was part of what made their fucking resolution at the end. So they come through all of this shit and there's actually a really great resolution towards the end of it where basically they decide they have to overload the Rock of Hysteria.
Yes.
Playing too much rock and roll, and that's how they'll stop the destroyer, which is this giant floating head that's chasing after them, I'm trying to remember who it was now. Hang on, I have to go look that up.
That's gonna drive you nuts, isn't it?
It's always gonna drive me nuts.
Yeah. But I loved how it was pretty much Galactus, essentially.
Yeah, it was Galactus's head.
It was Galactus's head, pretty much, chasing after them. And that makes me laugh really hard. And
And Polly Peretti was Delilah, which is another Kiss song.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Darius Rucker was the Destroyer.
Oh, shit.
The releasing Rakuni in the fucking Blowfish.
That's fucking hilarious.
And I think all he said was, I rise and destroy, destroy.
That's it. That's all he said. Destroy, I rise.
Yeah, so it's like if Galacticus and Mojo had a baby.
Yes.
Where it's essentially a head in a chair chasing after them and shooting lasers.
I was fucking dying. Just that whole thing where it was just like, what am I? And of course the big giant hilarious chase scene. And
it's like, if they had played this straight, it honestly could have been a segment in heavy metal.
It really could have, actually, if they played it straight. Because it felt like a heavy metal video. Yeah. Yeah, if everyone was like in some sort of fur bikini and everything was made out of boobs, it really would have been a segment from the heavy metal movie. It really could have.
The original one, the heavy metal 2000.
Not that, which was, both of them were, not my favorite, but hey.
I had a weird obsession with the original heavy metal because
I kind of, the original one.
1982, 1983.
Yeah, around then.
It was one of those things where, so, when we were little and like VCR started becoming more commonplace, somehow my siblings got a hold of it. Like, I don't know if it was a bootleg or what. And my parents were in California. So my sister had a fucking raging house party.
And of course,
they put me in TW to bed. I woke up and came downstairs and didn't want to go back to bed because there was a party going on. And they had heavy metal playing and I saw animated tits and was like, what the hell? Like, I was.
What is the sorcery?
I was just like, you can't show boobies in a cartoon. Cartoons are for kids. And I went and I sat and I watched it. And I swear to God, I can remember somebody going, hey, she's kind of small. Should she be watching this? And my sister goes, oh, she doesn't understand what's going on. And in my head, I thought, oh, yes, I do.
Oh, yes, I do. I know what boobies are.
I watched that whole fucking movie.
That's fucking hilarious.
And because of that, I had like a weird obsession for that movie.
I remember watching it when I was much older because I didn't even hear of heavy metal until I was much older. And it's one of those things where it's like, this is dumb, but I can't stop watching it. And if it's on, I probably will sit and fucking watch it.
It's an interesting view into that time frame.
Yes, there's something very strange about heavy metal that I'm like both fascinated and repulsed by at the same time.
Well, and it's misogynistic as fuck.
Oh, it is. And like every part of me as a woman kind of hates it. But at the same time, I'm like, but I really want to watch this movie because it's so absurd. It's so dumb.
Well, it's super weird and you never know what's going to happen next. Again, much like this action scene, like the climax of this movie.
Which got very weird and very fast. There just weren't any titties or misogyny.
Basically, but that was all it was missing. And so they're on the what was it? They were calling it the kiss craft. That's what it was. So they're on the kiss craft, which is like the little offshoot of their big guitar.
And I did laugh really hard at that moment where he's all like, you could get on the kiss craft. Oh, we have a van called the Mystery Machine. No time, Freddie.
we're running out of time, Fran.
Yeah.
It's Freddie.
That was so funny to me, just that moment.
The only dramatically delivered line that any member of KISS gives.
Yes. Honestly, everything else was
of everybody in this
shouted or mumbled.
Yes. The only person who I think really was mostly okay as a voice actor was Gene Simmons, and that's because he's done voice work before.
Yes. But you were the only one who I would say was anything brilliant.
He was real good in some scenes, but not as wooden as
everyone else. You could tell that for Spaceman, they were just like, we're just not going to have you talk a whole lot.
It's so fucking funny though.
It reminds me of they were on Family Guy and they actually did the voices of themselves. And I'll always remember that one where I think it was
Lois.
And I think it was the guy, Spaceman, whoever, I forgot the name of the actual bandmate, and he was all like, my taco got cold. And that was the only thing they had him say. That was it.
Yes.
It was funny.
One thing I have to give this movie credit for was, so in that same Family Guy episode, there's a whole bit where Lois dresses up as the Catman and then reveals that she's really not into KISS. And
yes, I remember that episode.
He's horrified and offended, and he said he should have known something was wrong, but she wanted to be the Catman because nobody ever wants to be the Catman.
Yes.
But they did. They did actually end up making the Catman pretty fucking badass in this, where he got to do some like,
yes, they did,
serious Thundercat shit. Which I thought was
kind of
cool.
I laughed at all of the themed, their themed parked ride, and they're all like the cat, was it the cat run or something? And there were just those like little that, cats, yes, that just ran up and down, yes, up and down. Yes. I will say that park, I'm shocked did not get OSHA called on them, because
that
there
park would have had OSHA called on
that park would have had OSHA up its ass.
There
I
was
just
a lot
like,
of exposed
wow,
flame that I just don't.
There was
think
a lot of
work,
exposed flame. There was a lot of like no seatbelt sign. That,
yes,
I had,
yes,
issues with that park.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
This animated
that park
had
flaws.
Animated,
yes,
OSHA called on it.
Animated but OSHA so needed to be called on this animated park.
Well, and then when they do the big concert at the climax, and like they let everybody in, and it's literally just a stampede. It's like pretty,
yes,
sure that wouldn't fly because somebody's gonna get
just let them
that
in, and they just open the gates and wah!
yeah, like, let the flood of psychos in.
Yeah, that was pretty
so,
fucking hilarious.
So what ends up happening is, they're keeping Galactus or the Destroyer confused or distracted while they play, you know, some.
I was made for loving you or whatever.
It wasn't.
No,
was
it was Detroit Rock City. They played
Detroit Rock City.
That's what it was.
And so that somehow overloads the diamond and kills the Destroyer. Because of course it does. And they end up, like, the craft ends up getting destroyed. And then they end up back in our dimension. And then they're just, like, falling forever onto the audience.
They end up getting crowd surfed.
And they end up getting crowd surfed and they're unconscious. And it was kind of this beautiful, like, what the fuck? Ending.
It was
and so
very
Shaggy
funny.
And Scooby are the last ones to wake up, and they're told the whole thing was a group hallucination because the witch has this this red
gas
fog that rolls out with her, and it turns out that it's a hallucination. Essentially, they don't come out and say it, but she's basically dosing them with LSD.
Yeah, and they're all like, "Yeah, it was all a group hallucination," and
yeah,
then
it's a hallucinogenic, and I'm like, LSD.
And then I'm dying at when they go and hunt her down later, like, you know, in reality, quote unquote, and they're pulling off parts of her costume. Hey, I found the device that releases the fog.
Here's the canister with the gas in it. And then the spaceman rips off the her anti-gravity magnetic belt.
Yes. And it was from Quest Industries, which fucking killed me. The Quest joke,
great.
The Johnny Quest joke. I was
Quest
like,
Industries.
Oh, shit.
That's quality. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Johnny Quest.
That was beautiful.
Property.
Yes. That fucking killed me.
That
the Johnny
hilarious.
Quest.
Yes.
Yeah, I was dying.
In the like old school original font and everything.
Yes.
And it turns out that the Scarlet Witch is actually Delilah, the head of security, who's voiced by Paula Peretti. And hilariously, she had like a real Nazi vibe going on.
She really did. She definitely had an Ilsa She-Wolf of the SS vibe going on.
She was wearing joggers, and then
she had joppers on, and then
tunic uniform top,
and then she had that really bizarre like hairdo.
Yes, the 60s like top knot.
Yes.
And,
like, she was just missing, she was one German accent away from being a Nazi, essentially.
Yeah, basically, all she needed was an armband, and the look was complete.
Yes, exactly.
I was laughing because she comes on screen, and she's like, I'm the head of security, and I'm like, you're the head of security, and you're wearing a peplum.
Yeah. Well, it is Hanna-Barbera costume design, so I mean.
Shenanigans, madam, shenanigans.
I'm just saying,
nobody
Hanna-Barbera costume design is really not the best, so.
No, but this, it was just, and you know, of course they catch her, and they did a great reference to she goes, I would have gotten away with it too if it hadn't been for you meddling Kiss. And then there's a beat where she's dragged off screen, and she's like, kids! And also you meddling kids!
It was beautiful.
Yeah. But the thing that I loved about it is it's like, it was so very obvious that they're like, yes, you know, none of this will explain what she was actually doing.
Yes, of course. I want to know how she brought all those damn bunny rabbits to life in that one chase scene. Like, that's the one thing they didn't explain.
Well,
the Kiss rabbits.
She has her anti-gravitation belt, but she's flying like fucking Superman.
Yeah, I had some questions. There were questions that were not answered.
So then,
oh God.
So they go to leave, and like everybody believes it was just a hallucination, and then Shaggy and Scooby are kind of lagging behind. And Gene Simmons, or I should say the demon, ends up reheating their churro by spitting fire, which he teaches them to do earlier in the movie.
Yes, which was kind of hilarious too.
Then they all like are like, well, we got to go to Kisteria to put the rock of Kisteria.
Put the rock back.
With the elder.
Fly.
Like, fly away. And it's really funny because Shaggy's looking at Velma as she's walking out of them, and he goes, should we tell her? And or Scooby goes, no. Why shake the world?
That was fucking funny.
It was so fucking beautiful. Funny. And if you watch it all the way through at the very end of the credits, the Ascot Five perform.
Oh, see, I turned it off before that. Yep. Damn it.
It's not an animated animated performance, but it's them singing.
But I'll listen to it. I want to hear it now.
It was really fucking funny.
Well,
this
shit,
movie
now I gotta hear
is
that.
One of those things where I put it on at work because I just needed to put a movie on, and I figured it was going to be terrible and I was going to laugh my ass off at how terrible it was. And instead, yeah. I found myself really fucking charmed by that movie.
It was very charming. It was extremely charming. I was expecting a money grab type of thing, yes. And it wasn't that at all. It was very charming. It was really funny. It had a good sense of humor. You can tell they loved the source material. You know, it was very fun. Like, I just enjoyed every minute of it.
What is really funny, though, is so I was kind of poking around on IMDb last night after I rewatched it. And so, you know, again, like how Peter Griffin is in that episode of Family
yeah.
Guy, where it's like the Kiss Army fans are like really fucking uptight and like know too much about Kiss.
Yes.
And I was looking at some of the like other people, like I just want to see if people got the same thing out of it that I got out of it. And I was looking at some of the reviews, and most people were like, this was like a fun, silly romp.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were like every couple of like, yeah, I enjoyed it. It was fun. There'd be somebody who was just like, well, this took a really good deep dive into like Kiss lore. And it was just like, oh, friend.
You're just like
the Kiss
no,
fans
that's not
who
how
take
it works.
Themselves way too fucking seriously, which was pretty fucking hilarious.
That's beautiful. And
so it's like,
I'm
oh,
really
that
amused.
Wasn't just a caricature, huh? You guys are really out there.
Yeah, that's, they're like, oh, yeah, there it is. There they are, right there.
Yep.
So great.
Yep, and on IMDb.
So we will have to say, definitely recommend this sucker.
Oh, 100%. I bought it on Amazon.
Super
fun.
Yeah, it's super fun. It's also on HBO Max. If you have HBO Max, that's how I watched it. It's super funny. It's super fun. It's super silly.
Mm-hmm. It's just it'd be a good Halloween movie, like for kids.
Yeah, and it's also like if you were a Scooby-Doo fan like me and Stacey were,
it's
fun because it's like it's a good little nostalgia bomb that just makes you feel kind of good, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, that was awesome, you know, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it like
one
that
thing,
it just never really hated the source material.
No,
it never,
not at all.
I mean, it parodied it, but it never hated it.
Parodies, but no cheap shots.
Exactly.
One thing that I have to give Daphne credit for. So I had forgotten that when I watched this in the bit with I Was Made for Loving You came on, I realized I knew like way more of the words than I realized I did.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, how has the song never registered with me before? Because I really like this song. In fact, I ended up buying it after I watched it. But
yeah,
just out of curiosity, because again, you know, I know who Kiss are, but before I watched this, I really, other than I knew vaguely that Gene Simmons was supposed to be a demon, but beyond
yeah.
that, I didn't even know that they had like assigned caricatures.
Oh yeah.
I kind of knew, I remember that there was some kind of a space thing, but I wasn't even 100% sure on that.
They were supposed to be like aliens or something.
I don't know. But so just out of curiosity, I went to, and you know, this is after I've looked up Paul Stanley and realized that he's my mother's age, and laughed my ass off about that.
Laughed really hard. Yeah.
Pretty much. And so just out of curiosity, I went and watched a video performance from like the late 70s or early 80s of them doing I Was Made for Loving You, and I got it. Like,
yeah.
You should watch that because
they
you know,
were
like,
great performers, those
well,
guys.
And
I mean,
have you ever seen like, so like Jim Morrison, obviously, I think Jim Morrison died before either of us was born.
Oh yeah.
But at the same time, when I was a sophomore in high school, I was living with my grandparents, and there was some kind of Ed Sullivan Show retrospective. And
yeah.
So they were doing a thing where like they would talk about like, you know, like when the Beatles was on Ed Sullivan and when, you know, like Joan Rivers was on Ed Sullivan and Phyllis Diller and like, you know, what these meant for like, you know, women in comedy and stuff like that. And they'd have interviews with people. And they talked about when the Doors were on Ed Sullivan. And they did Come On Baby Light My Fire. And they apparently they wanted them to take out We Can Get Higher.
The word higher. Yeah.
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 And they promised that they would. And then they went on and Jim Morrison looked right in the camera and sang it as it was written.
Yeah.
And so it was a whole thing where they got chewed out. Well, yeah, you got chewed out at the end and they were like, we were going to have you on the Ed Sullivan Show for like four more shows or blah, blah. And one of the members of the band basically just looked at him and said, man, we just did the Ed Sullivan Show. Like I said, we weren't going to top this. So fuck you. And so it was really funny because I was listening to my grandparents talk about how, oh, he was so stupid. He should have just blah, 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 blah. You know, the same shit they would do where they talk shit about Martin Luther King Jr. as a way to excuse their own racism kind of thing. And so they were,
if he just confirmed it would have been just fine.
Well, no, there was just like, oh, Martin Luther King Jr. Oh, he cheated on.
Well, I'm talking about the Doors.
Jim Morrison. Yeah. Yeah. And so, and that's basically what they were saying. Like, oh, it was so dumb. You know, it could have been I'm tuning them out at this point. And so they show the performance that he did on the Ed Sullivan Show, and in that scene where he says we could get much higher, he would looked into the camera and it was like we made eye contact.
Oh yeah, it was amazing.
And it was one of those things where it was like, I remember, because I was well into my smut years by that point, and so you hear stuff about how, you know, like you make eye contact with somebody and it's arresting, and this has never happened to me before. I'm 15 and suddenly I'm having this moment with a man who's been dead longer than I've been alive. And I got it. Like, fucking got it. Like, that eye contact, there was just this, like, I could see why girls were throwing themselves at him. And Paul Stanley kind of has that same thing if you watch the video for I Was Made for Loving You. Like, even in ridiculous costumes, the ridiculous makeup, like, that whole glam rock thing just forever cracks me up because you got men wearing makeup who probably were also, and I'm not talking about Kiss in specific, I'm just talking about fans of the genre, who were probably homophobic as fuck, and it just cracked, the dichotomy just cracked.
I mean, the dichotomy is pretty beautiful when you get right down to it, so.
And so, so it was just kind of this whole, like, it's really interesting when you see a performer who, it wouldn't have mattered if he was wearing makeup or not, you were going to have the same reaction to. And so I can see why Daphne was into Star Child. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, they were very dynamic performers. So, I'm not surprised. I watched performances of theirs before and you're like, you know, they knew how to put on a fucking great show, those guys.
For sure. Well, and it's one of those things too, where it's like, you know, by the time Kiss was on our radar, they had kind of become the joke where it was, you know, Kiss branded toilet paper, you know, like,
oh yeah.
And it was kind of this bloated money machine, but you forget that, like, there's a reason why it got to that stage.
Yeah,
and
the reason why it got to that stage, performers,
right, is they're very, like, charismatic and compelling, and you really do see that because I mean, you know, realistically, like, how many live performances of Kiss, whether it's, you know, taped or not, have I ever seen? Like, it's a fucking handful. And so deliberately going out and watching it was kind of an interesting eye-opening perspective.
Yeah,
or it's like, oh right, nope, there's a, I totally get it, people were,
there was a reason why people were there was a Kiss army, you know, there was definitely a reason. It wasn't just like a,
and you know, that's fluke. Really funny too that we were talking about Dazed and Confused earlier when I was talking about the London Twins, right?
Yeah,
because the whole point of that is they want to go see Kiss.
No, you're thinking of Detroit Rock City then, didn't?
No, I've never seen Detroit Rock City. No, it's the end.
There
of Kiss
was a because, whole movie.
No, it was specifically Dazed and Confused because there was a whole thing where Pink, the main character, the coach was trying to get them to sign a morality clause to play football next year, where they had to agree to, like, no premarital sex, no drinking, no smoking, no doing drugs. And so, you know, the entire movie is them trying to score alcohol and drugs and fuck. And so finally at the very end of the movie, he says, you know, like, I want to play football next year. I hope that you're going to let me, but I'm not going to sign this fucking clause. Like, I'm going to go enjoy the summer. My friends and I are going to try and go see Kiss. I hope you have a good summer too. There's a whole through line where they're talking about trying to find, like different characters are trying to come up with money so they can buy tickets to go see Kiss.
Yeah. There's a whole, like, movie called Detroit Rock City, which is about, like, I remember a bunch of young kids. Yeah. That's pretty fucking funny too, that movie. So
isn't that the, no, I'm thinking of
the guy, the kid from Terminator 2 was in it.
Before. Oh really? Eddie,
I don't remember his name.
Fuck. I should know his name. My brain, after yesterday, it's like my brain is wrapped in fucking cotton
Nope, I get
candy.
it. I get it.
Train
So,
rock.
anyway, we will be
14.
back in
Edward
August.
Furlong. Jesus.
Edward Furlong, that's his name. And so we'll be back in August. I would like, it's going to be just a classic
Yeah,
kitsch.
classic
And
kitsch.
I personally would really love to talk about Last Night in Soho. It's on Netflix
Yeah,
now.
I would love to. I wanted to watch
I
that, so that'd
love
be
this
great.
movie. And so I think next time, I think we're going to tackle Last Night in Soho.
Yeah, works for me.
And then we'll be back with Lady and the Orc for PandyCast.
Fuck yeah, we will. Which, by the
And
way,
yeah.
for those of you who are interested, it is dropping on audio and through Audible on July 19th.
Yes, so if you
So if
want
you
to
have
hear
Audible,
buckets of cum on Audible,
and
there you
there's a
go.
lot of cum in these books because she
There's
is
a
very, like,
whole
there's a
lot of
lot of semen
cum.
worship. Although, to be
Yeah.
fair, if human jizz tasted the same way orc jizz did, I would probably be more into
I
semen
mean,
worship.
I would probably have a juice box full of orc jizz. I ain't gonna
Right.
lie. So, I
We have a
mean, there
running
it
joke
is.
on the Finley Fen Discord about GOS, which is good orc seed.
Oh
Be
my
cautious if someone offers you a nectar bun.
God.
So if you're interested, if you're curious, that's supposed to drop. I've heard snippets. It definitely sounds like a panty wetter. So if you're
I mean,
curious
the
about
guy's
orc
voice is
smut,
pretty fucking
oh my
amazing. I
God,
mean,
yes.
whoo, whoo,
Doing
whoo,
grim,
whoo.
yes. I can't wait until we get further in. Like I want to hear how this fucker's gonna do
I mean,
science.
I still have to go back to the series, but
You sh yes, you do. Orcs are real pansexual.
yeah,
And since there are
very pansexual.
often no human women to fuck, they will fuck each other and human men. So it's a good old time for everybody,
I mean,
basically.
nobody's complaining. No,
Nope.
everyone's
Nope.
very,
And
very happy.
if somebody acts out, then they're enforced, and that's usually the last time they act out.
Yep. So.
It's just, yeah, if you want big old dicks doing big old dick things and biting, there's a
Yeah,
lot of
it's
biting in this series. It's not just a lady goes swimming in a lake full of jizz. I mean, there's probably some of that in there, but there's
there's buckets
also a
of
lot
cum,
of,
but there's
like,
also buckets of feels. I mean, so.
yes. And I am more likely to drown in the feels than I am in the jizz.
I mean,
And
yeah,
so
but I
it's
will
just,
say, prepare
it's
yourself for buckets
really
of cum.
fucking
So,
good.
yeah, I can honestly say
But
I'm
yeah,
not
so
into semen worship, but hey, it's still a really good series. So,
I can hang with it in a book. I'm not into it in real life just because, like,
me neither. It's
semen's
like,
not that much fun. But
you know, it gets everywhere, and then it's hard to clean off. And yeah,
we've
anyway,
all gotten it in our eye and no one
I
enjoyed
have issues with it.
that.
I just.
It's one of those things too where when people that who was it? Was it Chelsea Handler? Did the bit about why she'd rather swallow because if you spit, you have to walk around with it in your mouth.
Yeah.
And it's easier if you just swallow it because it's gone faster. One of the reasons why I like to deep throat is because it's like just shoot while you're back there. It'll taste vaguely salty and then we can get on with our day.
Then we can get on with our lives.
Exactly.
Oh, God. Yeah. So anyway, we will be back. We will be talking about Last Night in Soho next episode.
Yes, 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 yes.
And yeah, so come back and I can't wait to talk about that movie. I can't wait for you to see that movie. I'm
I
just
really wanted
saying,
to see it
that
in the
movie's
theater, but
fucking
unfortunately, it
amazing.
was one
You'll
of
love
those
it.
things where it just didn't happen.
Yeah, that was kind of, I saw it on an airplane. That's how I was able to catch it. And it
Really?
is so good. Yeah, I was on my New Orleans trip and I managed to catch it. It was one of the in-flight movies.
That's
And
kind
it
of cool.
was so good. I loved it. So we're going to watch it Last Night in Soho. I've been
Okay,
dying to
yeah, I'm
talk
down
about
for
that
it.
movie. And
Because
it
it's
is
an
a
Edgar Wright
genuine
movie,
horror
right?
film, too.
It's
What?
Edgar Wright, right? Edgar
Yes,
Wright?
Edgar Wright.
Yeah,
And he
that's what I
did
thought.
such a good job with it. It is so good. I fucking
Sweet.
love that movie. Anyway, so
All righty,
we will
sounds
be back
good.
next month. If you want to check us out, you can or send us a comment or whatever. You can at creepykitschgals@gmail.com. You can check out our website, I guess you can call it. That's creepykitch at
Yes,
blogspot or
a
dot
pod aggregator at this
blogspot.com.
point.
Yeah, at this point, yeah. We're on Spotify, we're on Apple, we're on I don't know what else, but we're on some other
We're on Anchor
venues now.
itself because I got a
Yes,
thing
we're on
basically
Anchor
saying that like
itself,
10 people have so far have downloaded a specific
which
episode.
kind of if I find really funny in some ways,
I
but
do
hey,
too.
I'm like, well, that's more than two. That was the last time I saw it.
Right?
You can check out our Facebook page at Creepy Kitsch Podcast. Just search for that.
Yep.
It's
And
pretty active. It's
also,
mostly us posting memes. That's about it.
Being gross, laughing at each other. We also are trying to get a Discord channel going. So if you want to join that, please let us know and we'll shoot you a
link. We got to definitely post the link to that pretty soon.
Well,
we did a long time ago and I forgot to pin it and I don't know where it went.
That's fine. I'll just post another one. Part of the thing too is I know a lot of romance groups are having real problems where it's like they're like
lots of groups are having issues
being closed out by Facebook. And I have no doubt that if they get closed out, we're going to get closed out.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of people are doing sort of a mass exodus over to Discord. So we've got a channel going. It's not super active, but I would like to see that change. But
I think it will if we just advertise it a little bit more. I'm going to try to pop in a little bit more often, too. So check us all out there. And we'll be back next month.
Yes, sounds good.
Yep. All right. Everyone have a great life, and we will see you soon.
All right. See you later. All right. Bye-bye.